Okay. So we're continuing on with the different reasons behind Yichud. I just wanted to finish what we were ending off with last time, which was a discussion as to who is violating this prohibition of Yichud. Is it on the man, is it on the woman, or is it on both? And this is all within the understanding that Yichud, the problem, well, it could be on any of the two understandings of Yichud being a problem of acting as a fence that there's to prevent any physical relationship, or it could just be that Yichud alone, that just being in a room alone, even if it's not going to lead to anything physically, just that will cause some sort of emotional relationship, let's say. Just being in that situation alone would be a problem. So according to either explanation, is the problem on the man, is the problem on the woman, or is the problem on both? So we'll spend a few minutes on that. And then after we finish that, what I want to get to, which is what we're going to be dealing with for the next couple of weeks, are different ramifications for this whole issue as to what the reason is. We're going to discuss different scenarios and ramifications that will be impacted based on the reason behind Yichud. And that'll take us a couple of weeks. So let's reread the Gemara that we started off with, that we ended off with last time. Rabibi ikla lebei Rav Yosef. Rabibi went to the house of Rav Yosef. Basa dekarach rifta, after he finished eating, amr lehu. So now Rabibi is talking to Rav Yosef and really Rav Yosef's wife, to both of them. Amr lehu, he's talking to both of them. Shikuli darga misusi bibi, remove the ladder from beneath me. Right? Take the ladder away from me. Essentially, what's happening is, without the Gemara really revealing it explicitly, is that they're on two floors. They were on the second floor. They had dinner on the second floor. Rav Yosef was now going to leave, and his wife was going to be on the first floor. And so Rabibi tells Rav Yosef to remove the ladder because Rav Yosef was leaving. And by removing the ladder, this will solve some sort of problem. Unclear exactly what the problem is, but it'll solve some sort of problem by removing the ladder. Okay, so before we get to Rashi, I want to discuss the Gemara before we get to Rashi, and then we'll see how Rashi impacts our understanding of the Gemara. So, just by reading the Gemara, what do we solve? What concern does Rabibi have without reading Rashi? What's the concern? What do we solve? What's the solution?
Well, then he can't climb down the ladder onto the floor where the wife is.
So, what's if the ladder were to be there? What would be the problem?
It's just the ability to.
Yeah.
Is it? My question is that a situation of yichud, or is that not a situation of yichud? That's my basic.
Not yet. It's to avoid yichud.
Well, why isn't that Yichud?
It is. It's one.
It's one. It's
so it's just like the.
It's one house with a first floor and a second floor, and you have stairs.
No, he wouldn't let him stay in himself, so it was Yichud.
No, so that's why it's solved. I'm saying if the ladder were to stay there, would it be Yichud or would it not be Yichud? And by removing the ladder, is he solving a problem of Yichud or is he solving some other problem? Let's say he's being. Extra machmer, extra stringent upon himself. What is the problem, and then what is he solving by removing the ladder? That's my question.
I find it interesting that Rabibi is the one who's suggesting to remove the ladder, and not Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef doesn't seem to have an issue.
Okay. That's an interesting point.
And the wife is in control of the ladder, too. So
we'll get to that in a second. That's a good point, but we'll get to that in a second.
On Rabbi Lichtman's question, it would be very insulting, I think, if... What's the first guy's name? Rabbi Joseph.
Mm. Rabbi Yosef,
if Rabbi Yosef had removed the ladder, I think that would... Mm. That would have been very insulting to Rabbi Bibi.
It would have been the right... may have been the right thing to do,
though. But if it's the right... Yeah, if it's...
Well,
I don't know. We're dealing with both. These are both rabbis.
So it seems like a stringency then.
Amoraim here, who they probably both know the law. It's not like we're dealing with
like
sensitivities here in terms of, well, maybe he doesn't know this law, and it looks like I'm insulting him.
Well, maybe you could say that Rabbi Bibi might have just said it to eliminate.
You want to answer
Rabbi Joseph in a situation,
of
smiting.
Okay, so you're answering Rabbi Lichtman's question by saying it's just Rabibi initiated because he didn't want to He didn't want to make it look... he didn't want to put Rav Yosef on the spot.
Right.
No, it looks like he's doing stringency. He's taking upon himself a stringency. Because otherwise, it would have been just understood that Yosef would come and take a life.
So you could learn that way.
So you could learn that way, or you could learn like this.
There's really no... The whole halacha of Yichud is on the man and not the woman. And therefore, from Rav Yosef's perspective, there's no problem.
Why? Rav Yosef should still care about Rav Bibi.
He should, but it's not... But again, like it's not a two-way... It's not an equal...
Well, he'll only say something for his wife, but he won't say something for Rav Bibi?
Maybe.
Uh-huh. Okay, maybe. Maybe that you want to say it's only on the man and not the woman.
Yeah, I'm not willing to say that, but it may be an indication.
Yeah. Or you say that Rav Bibi is being stringent upon himself, and really, by the letter of the law, this is not a problem of Yichud. Even if the latter were to remain there, it's not a problem of Yichud.
But how do we understand that it wouldn't be Yichud?
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. I'm just presenting the option.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a second.
How do we know it's not Rav Yosef that's saying this?
It's not. It's Amar Lahu. He's saying it to them.
Then that doesn't make sense because Rav Yosef would be downstairs.
Yeah, he's saying, go, as you go down the ladder, you have to leave. So you're going down the ladder. Once you're down there, take the ladder with you. Only the people on the first floor could remove the ladder. Well, people on the second floor could also remove the ladder. But
what I'm saying is it wouldn't be Yochud if he comes down and Rav Yosef is there with his wife.
Rav Yosef leaves. After the meal, Rav Yosef, it's not, the Gemara doesn't say it explicitly, but you'll see from the next line of the Gemara, which I did not quote, it's obvious that Rav Yosef leaves. He's out of the picture. He's leaving the house, and the concern is that you have the wife on the first floor and Rav Bibi on the second floor. So essentially, you could understand this in one of two ways. Either this is a Yichud problem, if the ladder were to remain there, this is a Yichud problem. By removing the ladder, it's no longer a Yichud problem. Or you say that, no, this is not a Yichud problem, even if the ladder were to remain there. There's no Yichud problem whatsoever. Rav Bibi just initiates, like Rabbi Lichtman pointed out, that Rav Bibi initiates because he wants to be extra stringent upon himself. By the letter of the law, you could have kept the ladder there. There's no Yichud problem. It's just that Rav Bibi wanted to be extra machmir, extra stringent, and so therefore he told them to take the ladder away. Those are the two options. You're going to ask me in the second option, why is there no Yichud? If there's a ladder there and they could just go from one floor to the next, why is there no Yichud there? So this is an interesting discussion which we'll have in the future with regards to different floors. If you have different floors, is that viewed as within being in the same space, being in the same area to call that Yichud? Perhaps if you were to say that there's no Yichud here, you would seem to be of the opinion to say that if you're on different floors, so then there's no problem of Yichud.
We had a discussion, I think it was last time, about having an inner room within an apartment, and if the only way to get out was through that other room, so then that would be considered, that would be a problem.
Well, we said that if you have everything you need in the inner room, and you don't have to go outside, so then that wouldn't...
If the woman's on the inside, then...
That was the question. The question was where the woman was on the inside. Correct.
Okay.
That was that. But that was
where the man is on the inside, and there's no other way out of the house.
The man is on top.
Right, which is basically the inside.
Let's say he has everything that he needs. Let's say he has everything that he needs. Yeah. Meaning.
I'm pretty sure he didn't have an ensuite bathroom.
Yeah.
An unethical bathroom.
It's then very likely in the middle of the night he's got to get up.
Yeah.
Well, then.
But I would tell you, you know what? It's going to
be.
Exactly.
Well, if you take the ladder away, he definitely has everything he needs.
You better have a chamber pot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it depends how long he planned on being up.
But exactly. I'm saying, however long he planned on being there for, it's sufficient. That's all. It's not like every single time there's Yichud, you need to have a bathroom in the area that you're at. To close yourself off from the rest of the house. It's however long you plan on staying there for, you have whatever you need. So let's say he was just going to be there for a few hours, so then he had whatever he needs for those few hours. So let's say he has everything he needs. And he's not going to come to the first floor. And we know that he's not coming to the first floor because he told them to take away the ladder. So in practice, he had everything. In the end of the day, he was sufficient. Against his will, perhaps, but again, he understood that he was going to have to stay there alone on the second floor. So it's a discussion in terms of whether the first floor, if one person on the first floor, another person on the second floor, is that an issue of Yichud or not? Even if you have the ladder there, even if you have stairs, our our modern day example would be stairs, which is an important, very, very much practical discussion, because if you have, let's say, you're at home and you have a cleaning lady or a nanny at home, so do you solve the problem by remaining on a different floor, by trying to stay on a different floor? Does that solve the problem? So we'll get into those issues. But if you were to claim that there's no yichud, even if the ladder were to remain there, so then that would seem to imply that two different floors does not create a problem of yichud. That's what it would seem to imply. If you say that it is yichud, so then two floors do create yichud, and he's telling them to remove the ladder to solve the problem of yichud. Fine. So Rashi takes one of those two approaches. So now Rashi comes along and he explains in source 2, Shekula Darga, remove the ladder. Why? She'achlu Ba'aliya, they ate on the second floor. V'yardu Rav Yosef v'ishto, v'hu nishar Ba'aliya. So Rav Yosef and his wife went down to the first floor. He, Rav Bibi, stayed on the second floor. And he said, Shekula Darga misusi baby, shelo, or they did, they removed the ladder from underneath Rav Bibi, shelo yered v'yisyachid, so that he shouldn't go down and cause yichud. The implication of Rashi is that it's not yichud. When is there yichud? Yichud is once he comes down. Remove the ladder so that I do not come down and then cause a problem of yichud. That means that if he were to remain up there and the ladder stays where it is, that's also not yichud. He's just saying, remove the ladder in case I do come down, and then that will cause yichud. But as is, if the ladder remains there, that wouldn't cause yichud. It's only because he's concerned that he will come down, and then that will be a problem of yichud. Right? So it seems from Rashi that he's taking the second approach to say that there's no yichud, only even if the ladder is there, and we remove the ladder out of an extra stringency that he has upon himself. He's being extra machmir to say that remove the ladder, I don't even want to be in a situation where there's a potential for yichud, where I have some sort of reason to come down. Fine, that's the opinion of Rashi. Now, the question is, so who moves the ladder? The woman, Rav Yosef, or his wife? Now, the ladder is on the first floor. So the question is, well, she could then go ahead and put the ladder back there. Right? That was your question. She just put back the ladder. And then that'll create a problem of yichud.
So we're obviously saying that she's not a problem.
Well, in Rashi's world, it's not an issue.
No. Yes.
You're not dealing with yichud to begin with. It's only a stringency.
Oh. So if you say like Rashi, so then there's no problem with the fact that the wife has the ladder, because even if she were to put the ladder back, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
That's not yichud. You know, Rav Bibi wants to be extra machmir, but okay, fine, but the wife wants to put the ladder where it belongs. So, and it's not a problem halachically. There's no problem with yichud if the ladder remains there. So the fact that she has the ability to put the ladder back shouldn't really impact anything. Right? So according to Rashi, it would seem that you can't prove anything with regards to proving anything, which we'll get to what you potentially could prove. But at least with regards to Rashi, the reason why she has the ability to put the ladder back is because there's no problem if she does put the ladder back. It wouldn't cause any problems. For her to go up there, so then that would cause a problem. But to just put the ladder there, there's no problem in terms of that. Just an extra stringency that Rav Bibi is placing upon himself. If one were to take the other position against Rashi, and one were to say that, there is yichud here, even with the first floor and second floor, it doesn't make a difference that they're on two floors, there's still a problem with yichud, as long as the ladder's there. Rav Bibi told them to take it away. There's somebody at the door. Rav Bibi told them to take it away. Wow. Look at that. The advantages to having a key. So, if you take the approach that there is a problem of yichud, so then now we go back to our question. Well, if there's a problem of yichud with the ladder there, just by placing the ladder there, so then the wife has the ability to put the ladder back there, right? She could just put the ladder back there and cause yichud just by putting the ladder back there, right? So, what does it solve by moving the ladder? She could just put the ladder back and that'll cause, that'll be a problem of yichud. Right? That's the question.
There's a very low risk of her from the breath.
Yeah, unless we're not worried about that it's not on the woman.
Yeah.
That it's not on the woman. Yeah. If you assume that it's that the... Exactly. So if you assume that we're not worried about the woman creating yichud, so then this would be permissible because we're not concerned that the woman is going to initiate, and that we're not concerned that she will then move the ladder.
I don't see what the issue is. There's no yichud. The ladder is not there, so we're concerned that maybe she'll put the ladder there. So that's again, it's the same thing as being concerned that maybe two people will go into seclusion with each other. So
did everybody get Rabbi Lichtman's point?
Yeah.
This really shouldn't prove anything.
Yeah.
Even if you say that there's yichud with the ladder there, this shouldn't prove anything with regards to a situation of actual yichud. Our question to begin with, as to whether the violation is on the man, the woman, or both, was in a case of actual yichud. Mm-hmm. They're both in the room. So what are we concerned about when they are both in a secluded room? Are we concerned that the man is going to initiate the woman, or potentially both? That was the question. But over here, what's going on here? Over here, it's true. Rav Yosef's wife could put the ladder back. But that action of putting the ladder back is not... that's creating a yichud situation. That's not when you're already in the yichud situation. So we could say that we're not concerned that she's going to create a yichud situation.
But maybe we will
be concerned that she will, once you're in the yichud situation, that she will initiate in that situation.
I mean, there could be the same thing. Even if he took the ladder, even if Rabbi pulled the ladder up to him, as long as there's no ladder there, there's no yichud. So you might be concerned that maybe he'll put the ladder in.
Exactly. Exactly, because we wouldn't necessarily be concerned, because we're not concerned. We're only concerned when there's a yichud situation. Well, we're not concerned when we have two people walking down the street that maybe they'll go ahead and. I know you're going to ask the question of the example that we had in terms of the law. We'll get there in a second. But we're not concerned when we have two people walking in the street that they're going to go ahead and go to a secluded room, because that we don't go so far as to say such a thing. Our concern is just when they're already in that secluded room. When they're in a secluded room, we're concerned. Who's it on? Okay, it's an open question. But you can't prove anything from this Gemara. This Gemara is not about a case where it's already yichud. This Gemara is a case where you move the ladder, you might put the ladder back to create yichud, but that's already before there's actually yichud. When the ladder is not there, so then it's not creating yichud. If the ladder's not there, you don't really have a situation of yichud, so therefore you can't prove anything about whether the woman's going to start it, the man's going to start it. Can't prove anything about an actual case of where they're actually secluded, because when the ladder's not there, we don't view it halachically as being secluded. Okay, so it doesn't seem like you can prove anything from this Gemara. It doesn't seem like that. So Avram Dov is asking, well, let's get back to the case that we dealt with last week. The case that we dealt with last week was where the woman is in the inner room, the man is in the outer room. Let's say the woman's in the bedroom, the man is sleeping in the living room, and she locks the door. So Rav Moshe Feinstein said that that's still going to be a problem, even if they figure out a way that he'll leave before she comes in, that's still a problem, because she could just... she would have the desire also just to open the door and initiate, right? So, is being in a locked room equivalent to not having the ladder there? Because essentially what we're seeing from this Gemara...
opposite.
What we see from this Gemara, at least, is that the wife will not bring the ladder there. Right? We're not concerned that the wife will bring the ladder there. Will not create a yichud situation. Right? That we see from the Gemara. We see from the Gemara that the wife will not create a yichud situation by bringing the ladder there. There's no yichud right now.
She would create a yichud situation if she brought the ladder there.
We're not concerned that she will do that. Right. We're not concerned that she will move the ladder to create a yichud situation.
Okay.
Because if we were to be concerned about that, so then we would say that this doesn't solve any problem.
That's
so we're not concerned. One second. We're not concerned that she will move the ladder to the second floor to create a yichud situation. So if we're not concerned about that, so then what about the case of the lock? Yeah. Should we be should we also not be concerned that she will open the door?
Exactly. We shouldn't be.
So then we shouldn't be concerned that she'll open the door. And then Rav Moshe Feinstein should not really say that it is prohibited. He should say that it's allowed. Because just like the wife of Rav Yosef wouldn't move the ladder, so too, she won't, the woman in the inner room, in the bedroom, won't open the door.
So you see from Rashi that there's some difference between an upstairs and a downstairs.
Yep.
See?
So that might be considered two units. So we're not considering when people are in two units that they're going to come together in one.
Right. So one answer you could give is to say, no, there's a difference between a first floor and a second floor and an inner room, outer room. You can differentiate between a first floor, second floor, and inner room, outer room. When it's first floor or second floor, so then those are already viewed as two different distinct units. So in such a situation, we're not concerned that a person is going to connect two different areas.
It sounds like a very strange thing. Like, yeah, we'd be concerned for this, but not, like, are we getting into the psychology of?
Yeah, so
we're getting into carpentry now. More carpentry than Gemara.
But as opposed to the inner room, outer room, it's a good question. I'm not. You're giving a distinction between the two, that it's two different units. But in the end of the day, if the whole issue, the real question is, are we concerned that she's going to want to create a situation of yichud? So then, why would you differentiate between these other two? So it's a good question.
You see from Rashi that he's making such a distinction.
Well, I think for Rashi, you can't prove. For Rashi, even if the ladder is there, there's no yichud.
Yep.
So from Rashi alone, even if the ladder is there, there's no yichud.
Why?
Well, probably because it's two units.
So would Rashi not be concerned for two rooms? Again, like what?
No, potentially he would be concerned for two rooms. Potentially. There are those who distinguish not because of the two rooms versus first floor, second floor. They differentiate between a locked door versus moving a ladder.
People go through locked doors routinely.
Yeah.
It's not an everyday occurrence. It might be an every hour occurrence.
But then you wouldn't. Then ladders would be different than staircases in today's modern day homes.
Well, not with regards to first floor, second floor, but with regards to the question at hand is not about whether it's two different units or not. The question at hand is, are we concerned that she's going to try to create a situation of yichud by unlocking the door or by moving the ladder? That's the question at hand. Are we concerned that she will then go ahead and move the ladder? Are we concerned that she will unlock the door? So if that's the question, I could differentiate between unlocking a door and moving a ladder. Because unlocking a door is, it's very frequent and very easy to accomplish. To move a ladder, you have to say, you know, I'm going to go ahead and pick up this ladder from where it is and move it to where it should be. That requires a lot more effort and a lot more. You really have to thought, and as you're going through the motions, to realize this is what I want to accomplish, as opposed to just going through the door to say, "Oh, I."
You're saying it's more premeditated.
Yeah, for sure. You're thinking about it a lot more when you move the ladder. You're performing an action as opposed to unlocking the door. I think we'll get into this. But let's say you lock the door. Somebody I think asked this. Let's say you lock the door, but you. Somebody asked last week. Somebody else takes the key. That's called a kidnapping. But last week. But let's say you don't give it to somebody else. But let's say you hide it somewhere in the room. You hide the key somewhere.
Right.
So perhaps that's more parallel to the ladder, because that requires also
a little bit more effort
than just opening the door. So then maybe that's more comparable to the ladder. Maybe not. Maybe still there's a difference between that and the ladder. But at least with regards to Rav Moshe Feinstein's case, where he didn't discuss such a situation, it's just purely it's locked and it's very easy to just open the door and get through. So then Rav Moshe Feinstein is assuming that there's a difference between that and the ladder. That with regards to that, okay, you could open it very easily, but with regards to the ladder, that requires a lot more thought and involved before you actually make that action of moving the ladder. With regards to who has the violation, who is over the Isser, we don't really learn anything from this Gemara. Mm-hmm. right? Just to repeat that, this Gemara doesn't tell you anything about is the violation on the man, the woman, or both. This Gemara just clues us in terms of it tells us we are not concerned that the wife will move the ladder. That's what it tells us. But it doesn't really tell us anything about who violates Yichud, the man, the woman, or both. Right? So with regards to that issue, we'll move on to the next couple of sources.
It also tells you it might be a good idea to be Machmer.
Thank you. It also tells you Rav Bibi, who was one of the Amoraim, so he was more Machmer than just the letter of the law. The letter of the law is Yichud, and he was even more stringent than that, and he said, at least according to Rashi, and he said to remove the ladder, even though this is completely permissible by the letter of the law, he was still more stringent than the letter of the law. Thank you. I wanted to compare the Rambam and the Tur. The Rambam and the Tur quote very similar halachos, but they're nuanced in the language. And I wanted to discuss three halachos, so I skipped a lot in between, but I quoted really just what was necessary for this. The Rambam came before the Tur. The Tur quotes the Rambam. And the Tur quotes the Rambam a lot in a lot of these halachos. And you'll see, even as he quotes the Rambam, he changes the language slightly. So you'll see, try to pick up on the nuances. I won't tell you what they are. The Rambam, first, in source 3. The Rambam says, Asur li hisyached im era min harayos. In halacha aleph, and he says that it's forbidden to have yichud with an erva from the arayos, with somebody that it's forbidden to be with, whether that's a family member. What's erva? It's a certain category, whether it's a family member that it's that there's a prohibition to have relations with, or whether it's a married woman. The different categories of erva.
Don't they usually just say like erva? Why does it say erva mean harayot? Do they always say that? Doesn't that already apply? Doesn't it end up saying doubly the same thing?
Im erva min harayos? I'm not sure why it adds that.
Well, how do you translate that? Because that's not in English.
Erva from the list, from the category of arayos, from the category of that which is prohibited under...
Ervas.
Mm. Ervas. It's repetitive. It is repetitive, yeah.
Incest. Right?
Either incest or to a married woman. Oh. A married woman would also fall under this category. Halacha Gimel says, Nimsa Kola...
Not just a married woman. It would be a single woman, any single woman who is a nida.
Potentially. That's a bigger discussion. Mm-hmm. That's a bigger discussion whether they fall under erva. But, yeah. The simple explanation is also anybody who's in nida. Correct. Halacha Gimel says, Nimsa kol ha-misyached im isha, she'asur le-hisyached imat. We find that anybody who has yichud, who's secluded with a woman who it's forbidden to have yichud with, bein Yisraelis bein kusis, whether she's a Jew or not, so then makin es shneim makas mardus ha-ish va-isha. So then both the man and the woman get lashes for it. The punishment is lashes. This punishment is derabbanan. This is a rabbinic decree that the punishment should be lashes, even if it's a biblical prohibition, but they get lashes. And then halacha yud, why do they get lashes?
Well,
it's rabbinic lashes.
If the
deraisa doesn't have a punishment, and there's no punishment in the courts for it. I didn't even read the last one yet. I had to return the page. I'm going slowly.
The English is on the next page.
That's right.
Oh, the English is on the next page.
Oh, yeah.
So, but it's important to see. I'm not sure if I wrote this in the English or not.
It is.
But keep in mind the numbering system. So far it was 1-3, and now this is halacha yod. This is the 10th halacha.
Mm-hmm.
It says, Tinokus mibas shalosh ulamata v'tinok ben teisha ulamata mutter lehisyach enimayim. This is something that we've seen in the past, that if you have a girl who's under the age of 3 and a boy who's under the age of 9, there is no prohibition whatsoever. That's completely permissible. That's all the Rambam. Moving on to source 4. The Torah says, Asur min haTorah le'ish sheyisyachid ima erva bein Yalda bein zekina. There's a prohibition on the man to have yichud, to be secluded with an erva, whether it is a girl or whether it is an older woman. In the same line, it says, a girl means as long as she's older than the age of three. And then in the next line or so, he says, "V'hamisachir afilim pinuya ben kusis ben Yisraelis malkinoso." One who has yichud, who is secluded, even with somebody who's single, and this is single even if she's not a nida, whether it's a Jew or non-Jew, so then he gets lashes. Okay, so give me three differences between them.
Well, the last one is that. It doesn't say the woman getting lashes.
Okay, excellent. So one distinction is who gets the lashes?
The man.
The Rambam said that they both get it. Malkin Mardish Haisha Vaisha, that they both get it. The Torah says that it's only Malkin Oso, that only the man gets the lashes.
The Torah's prohibition with respect to being with quote unquote single women is different in two respects. Because the Rambam says that it's only with a woman when there's a prohibition, and there would be times when men would be with single women when there wouldn't be a prohibition. So the Torah would...
No, but yeah, you're right. If all you had was what I gave you, you'd be right. But he does mention that it's also forbidden to be with a single woman before that.
The Rambam does.
Yeah, the Rambam does. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get malchus around
them. I think you would.
Because the Rambam says,
Yishusha also lezachinim.
Also lezachinim, every woman arayos. So it's only one of these arayos.
No, but I think I'm pretty sure in Halacha Beis he adds even somebody who's single.
That's after,
what'd you say?
That's add a lot of importance.
I did, but for the sake of. Focusing, yeah, for the sake of confusion, or for the sake of just focusing on. But you're right. Any other differences?
The Torah doesn't mention anything about a boy under nine.
So it's true. He doesn't mention anything about a boy under nine. I will tell you that he mentions something about a boy under nine a lot later.
But
he does mention it later.
Since the Torah is only focused on the punishment of a man and not the woman.
Yeah.
So there's no need to mention that. You're not
going
to give malchus to a boy who's 9 years old.
Well, the malchus, it would still be, you won't give it to a person who's 9, yeah. Correct. So the second distinction is that the Torah here, he only discusses what happens, that it's only permissible when it's with a girl who's under 3. But he doesn't mention the concept of the fact that it's permissible for a woman with a boy who's under 9, right? Because if the prohibition is on the man only, so then it's necessary to say if the girl is under 3, then it's permissible, because the whole prohibition is only on the man. If there's no prohibition on the woman, there's no need to say that it's permissible when the boy is under 9, because it's always permissible for a woman. There is no prohibition. So therefore, the Torah, at least here, he doesn't have to mention it, that if the boy is under 9, that there's no prohibition, because for a woman, there's no prohibition anyways, and the child is just a child. So he mentions it later with regards to children, because maybe there's a prohibition for children, there's a chinuch concept of educating children, but at least over here, there's no need to mention it in the beginning. Okay, that's the second distinction, and a third distinction. There's no mention of there is mention. I left some parts out, but
I suppose the biggest thing is that he completely he assumes something that we've been talking about for a long time, and that is that the prohibition is only on the men. The Torah does.
It's the Torah's assuming that, yeah.
So that's a huge leap forward that we haven't been ready to take.
But the Torah is saying that. The tour, yeah, this is a big chiddush. This is the novelty of the tour here, that he's saying this. But we proved it from two. So far, we had two proofs to this idea. One is that only he gets lashes. The second one is that he only discusses at this point the fact that it's permissible only with a girl who's under 3. He doesn't mention the fact that it's permissible with a boy who's under 9, because that would only be with a woman. The woman, it's permissible. There's a third proof also, that the tour holds that it's on the man and not the woman. just from these lines of the Torah. I'll give you a hint. It's in the first.
Give us another second.
This should be the most obvious one. He says it explicitly. What's the first line in the Torah? Aser min haTorah leish sheyisachin im erva. It is prohibited for a man to be secluded. If you look at the Rambam, what does he say? Aser leyisachin. There is a prohibition. It doesn't say there's a prohibition on the man. It's clear. It's clear as day that the Torah says that there's a prohibition from the Torah on the man for the man to be secluded with an erva.
You don't think that's implied in Rambam? It says Asur.
But just the opposite. Yeah. The Rambam says they both get lashes.
Right.
Rambam says they both get lashes.
So in the first one, it's still, it seems to be from a male perspective.
He sometimes, it might be, he just says that being in that situation is prohibited. Being in that situation, for a man to be with an erva is a prohibition. He doesn't say why it's prohibited.
Is an erva feminine?
Erva is the woman, yeah. Erva.
So then it's obviously, it's a man, yeah. Like you say.
It is implied that it's a man, but it's not, he doesn't say that the prohibition is on the man. It just says that the prohibition is to be in a situation where there's a man who's secluded with a woman.
At best, it's left ambiguous. So the tour,
but the tour is also the tour comes. What's also important is that the tour comes after the Rambam, and he often quotes the Rambam. And this in these halachas also, he quotes the Rambam, and yet he changes the language. He's changing the language around, and it seems to be intentional. He doesn't just say aser sheyisachin im erva. He just says aser Torah leish for the man. He adds that from the Rambam, and he adds these other points also. Malkin also, he changes it from both of them getting lashes to just him getting lashes. So it seems to be that he's doing that intentionally. He knows the Rambam, and he's changing the language. So it seems to be that he's arguing with the Rambam in terms of whether the prohibition's on both, which is the opinion of the Rambam, and he holds that it seems to be only on the man. And so the issue that we've been grappling with this whole time, it seems to be a dispute between the Rambam and the Torah.
What's the dispute?
The machlokas between the Rambam and the Torah. Okay. We have a few more minutes, so I wanted to start discussing ramifications to the broader issue. This was like a detail within an aspect of the reasons behind Yichud. So I just want to review now what were the reasons behind Yichud, and then we'll discuss ramifications for this. So what were the different reasons for Yichud? Either that it's acting as a fence to prevent some sort of physical encounter, which is prohibited, because they're not allowed to be with each other physically, or it's just being in that situation is a prohibition. Right? Being in that situation is a prohibition because, let's say, it's some sort of emotional connection. Just being in that room together, even if we're not concerned that they're actually going to have physical relations, that itself would be a prohibition. We suggested, although it seems to be that even if it applies, it's only in certain scenarios, that we're concerned for a forced act, for rape, for something like that. But that seems to not be the case for a regular case of yichud. We suggested maybe that applies to a child, different scenarios like that.
Wasn't that the Rambam we saw then?
There was an explanation within the Rambam, yeah.
So how does that fit with the Rambam's understanding that the woman gets malchus?
No, because that would be an exception.
Child protection.
That's for one reason of child protection. The general reason why yichud is prohibited is for one of the other two reasons. I think we've even seen that.
No one says that that's the reason behind yichud across the board. It's because we're concerned for
no. Yeah, no one says that the reason is because of concern for rape. But that's the reason across the board. We even saw in the Rambam. The Rambam uses the language of shadavar zeh goreim le guf erva or le iser erva. The Rambam says clearly that it's a fence for some sort of physical relationship. Within the physical relationship, this is also going to be important for the different ramifications, within the physical relationship is the concern that they're going to be physical now, when they're secluded now, or is the concern that because they're in this situation, then at some point in the future, they'll get back together. Right? Or is that the concern, that they'll get back together at some point in the future, which is sort of like a hybrid between the physical and the emotional reasons. It's like some sort of mixture between the two. So what would... I don't know if this is a fair question or not, but could you think of any differences, practical differences between these different reasons? Different situations that would come up that would have ramifications based on these different reasons.
Sure. If you're behind closed doors, but you're not there for very long, and you don't have time to be physically intimate.
Okay.
Then that's not going to be a concern. If a short period of time is not going to be a concern, it's not going to be considered yichud. If the purpose of the yichud is just to prevent the physical stuff from happening.
Right. Excellent. So if, let's say, the time period, how long do you have to be there for there to be a problem of yichud? Is it 1 second? Is it an hour? Is it a day? What is the time period that will create a problem of yichud? So if it's about being physically intimate, so then it would have to do something with the time period that it takes to have relations. That would seem, it would make sense that that would be the time. If it's less than that amount of time, so then there wouldn't necessarily be a prohibition. If it's just about the fact that you're both in the same room and it causes some sort of emotional connection, so then that could take a second. That could be some sort of look at each other or whatever it is. Yeah.
So an employer calling a secretary to dictate a letter, that takes a few minutes maybe.
Well, we'll discuss the different scenarios, but you have to. There's nobody else that could get into the room. We'll discuss.
Well, that could be a second reason, like Steve's reason that the time was a second example could be having somebody else come, like the doors open.
Well,
as
I think
other people could come in, but it could be an issue if all it is that you should never be in the same space as somebody who's...
Well, the question is not being in the same space. We definitely say if you're in public, there's no prohibition to walk on two sides of the street. There's no prohibition like that. It's that when you're secluded, even on an emotional level, even if you're not physical, if you know that nobody else is around, so then that creates a different relationship if nobody could get in there. So the question was asked to many poskim about what happens if you're in an elevator and a woman goes in and then the door is closed and it takes about, 3 seconds till it gets to the next floor. So is that a prohibition of yichud to be in an elevator together with another woman as they're going up to the next floor? So this was asked to Rav Moshe Feinstein. And it was asked to others as well. That's Eliezer. So this is source 5. So Steve just led me right into source 5. Hashir de Isser Yichud. The length of time for the prohibition of Yichud. The Hashir, what is the necessary amount of time? Imhu gam beha'isha shenichlasa imo hu Isser b'shir bia. He says that the amount of time in order for it to be a prohibition is the amount of time that it would take for just regular relations. However much time that would take, so then that's also the time for the prohibition. But then he says a little bit more. He says, but you have to calculate a little bit more. He says, Ach tzarech nosav lezek sask, kishir lishcho v'lipshot mehabagadim, ad kadeshu havsharis legalos as haivarim, v'gam lahalbosh kimi b'tchila, essentially, you have to add on time before and after in terms of the fact that it takes time to first get involved and then also to make sure that nobody realizes what happened. So that all that takes a certain amount of time. And then in addition to that, he says, V'im eino gaspa hatzarech odman k'dei l'rtzosa. He says, so it's basically situational. You have to know in the situation how much time would it take for everything to happen such that you could cover everything up. And then also...
Why do you need that? If we said that today people are prutzim, and therefore even being in public company with three men, we said today that it doesn't really help.
Well, we'll get to the prutzim. The prutzim is not so simple. We'll get to that when we get there. There's definitely a concern. If people find out about it, that's definitely a concern, and that's a way to allow it, because nobody's going to want it to go out there, and then people know about it, and then that ruins your marriage and your life and everything. That's definitely a
marriage.
Okay, it ruins your reputation at least. It includes the amount of time that it takes to cover everything up, to initiate the whole process. So it's all that is different depending on the circumstance, where you are. In addition to that, he says it also depends on who the woman is. He says if it's somebody that you never knew, never saw before, so then it also takes time to seduce such a woman. It all depends on whether it's somebody who's familiar to you, somebody who's not familiar to you. So there's no set amount of time that can be given as to what the prohibition is. Everything's relative. It depends on the scenario. It depends on the circumstance in terms of figuring that out. And he says, "Begas betuva v'chin k'she'isha nachris manhigas hamalas shestam and prutos upaga ba izi pa'amem v'nisi aruka l'kamakomos inachlam d'yesh lasar avlo motzei klal davar kaze." He says, when you go on the elevator, so then it's not going to take the amount of time. He says it's not common for it to take the amount of time such that it will be for such a long time that this would be a prohibition. And so therefore, it would be permitted to go in the elevator with another woman, assuming that it won't take that amount of time. And I think we also could assume that we're not concerned that the elevator will get stuck. That's also not a concern. That's what Moshe Feinstein says. Now, what is he assuming? What assumption is he making?
That this is a
physical.
It's all about physical. It's clear. Yeah. It's clear. He doesn't even mention that there's another option.
But maybe it could still be emotional. It could be that
if it's emotional, you wouldn't add on the time it takes to be intimate and to seduce and then to cover it up. It has nothing to do with that. It's just about being emotional.
If it's just emotional, so then you should say you shouldn't even be able to talk to a woman on the phone because you're going to be able to have a conversation with her. But we don't say
But there's a question.
It's got to be in a situation. It's got to be it could be that emotional connection is only if you're together in a situation where there is a possibility for something more than just conversation. Maybe there's some limit that Chazal built into it.
I think that when you have a closed door where both people know that there is privacy there, there's something changes in the air, there's a vulnerability because of that sense of physical privacy. Does it just affect, is it just because something physical might happen, or is it the fact that something physical might happen in that privacy changes the sense of intimacy between the people?
Right.
It's the second part that I think.
Are you agreeing or disagreeing?
I'm saying that the idea of seclusion being prohibited because of the intimacy that it creates is a real tangible thing. Well, it's not tangible.
Right, but I can also see that whatever it is that changes in the air is different in an elevator ride than it is in a closed door situation where you're there for a number of minutes.
But why would the number of minutes depend on whether you could have relations within that amount of time? So just say the number of minutes is 20 minutes, whatever, or 10 minutes.
Where do you get that number from? The number has to come from.
You're saying that there's an arbitrary number, and we'll make that number based on.
It could be that being in a situation where it's possible to be together, physically, that's what creates that emotional connection.
I would say emotional intimacy takes time.
It may already have been built up.
Yeah, no, but still, and the time that you're secluded is going to increase the risk of deepening that emotional intimacy.
Well, it's possible you're saying so much for a Lithman that it could take time, but how are we going to pick how much time that takes is arbitrary.
Well, the longer it is, the more the risk.
I know, but at what point in time is this prohibited? At what point in time is this allowed?
All I'm saying is that this doesn't necessarily restrict itself to physical intimacy risk.
I think it does. I think from his language, it seems to be that it's all about.
He talks about seduction.
It's not just seduction, but it's also about covering it up. the amount of time it takes to cover it up.
Well, I would say the same thing about emotional industry. People who it seems to me that people who are developing prohibited emotional intimacy don't want anybody to know about it.
But it doesn't take time to cover that up.
Sure it does.
The emotional intimacy?
You're leaving the room.
Oh, you mean cover up even as getting dressed?
Yeah. Well, getting dressed and whatever it takes to make sure that... Yourself.
The Hebrew is more explicit.
The Hebrew is more explicit, yeah. It takes more... So it seems from him, at least, from Moshe Feinstein, that it's about the time. But I think what Rabbi Lichtman's saying is that, well... Although I don't think Moshe Feinstein would say about this. Rabbi Lichtman's saying, well, even if you say the emotional aspect of it, but it's how much time are we going to say that this is now viewed as being emotionally intimate is pretty arbitrary. It will depend on each scenario, so and each person.
Yeah.
So we would have to give some time, otherwise we can't have different for each person. So let us make the time be the amount of time it takes to be physical. That will be the I think that's what you're saying.
You can definitely hear that amount of, meaning being in a situation where I could be physical and cover up.
No, I could hear it. No, I could hear it also.
It will create a different emotional connection than
I hear it. I hear it, but I do hear that, but I don't think that's for Moshe Feinstein, because then it wouldn't include also the time it takes to cover it up.
It would, because without that time to cover it up, I'm not in a situation where that's a possibility.
Yeah.
Okay, potentially. Potentially. I hear that. It's potential. So this could either be, this situation could either be a difference between the different reasons behind Yichud, or Lichtman's saying that maybe both would agree to this idea. Just to let you know, and we'll conclude with this, others suggest that maybe Yichud is even for 1 second, that it's just 1 second is Yichud, and then...
Where are the others?
One second. Others are the Maral Diskin says that.
And that's because he holds that he holds emotional connection.
No, it's not because of that. It's because he holds that, let's say, the emotional connection or physical intimacy takes however much time it takes. But there's also the concept called Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah, that even if something takes a certain amount of time, but because it might lead to that, so then even less than that is also prohibited. There's the concept that Chatzi Shir, half of the measurement, is also prohibited.
Why is the Moshe not holding that? What are they arguing about?
I think it has to do with Chatzi Shir, which is beyond this discussion, but.
Is this this rabbi not overlooking which rabbi are we discussing now?
Is he
not overlooking the fact that the tour only puts Yichud on the man?
What's the difference?
It just means that you as a man can't get in the elevator.
And even if
the language suggests that either of them,
you're waiting for the elevator.
Yeah.
But you should know the way we paskin is that the prohibition's on both men and the woman. I think the way the Shulchan Aruch has it is the language of the Rambam, I believe. Even if it's only on the man, the wife still has issues of lifnei iver, that he's causing the man to. Mm-hmm. Even if the prohibition of yichud is only on the man.
Mm-hmm.
The wife is also causing the man to be in such a situation. So that would be a separate violation. It wouldn't be the violation of Yichud necessarily, but it would be a separate problem of causing the man to be in a position of Yichud.
Between in front of the blind guy.
Exactly.
May not be a Torah.
Well, that is a Torah law. But it depends on the situation. And in terms of the elevator, in terms of the time, I think most modern day poskim say, like with Moshe Feinstein, and that going on an elevator would not be a problem. And it's just about the potential to go to the next floor. It's not like you're hitting the 30th floor and you're waiting to go up to the 30th floor, which in general also probably doesn't take too much time. But it's just the next floor because it's all about the chances of somebody else just pressing the button and walking in.
Yeah.
So it's not about what you're pressing, but it's about the potential for somebody else to go into the elevator. Yeah. So there, in general, they say that there is no prohibition.
Well, okay. I just want to give everybody a heads up that the